Hello, and welcome back to the Alliance Podcast, Continuing Conversations. I'm Shanice Reese-Quing, and I am the Executive Director for Professional Development and Education at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, and I have been a longtime member of the Alliance. I was recently elected as a board member and currently serving on the DEI and Almanac Editorial Board. Additionally, I also served as the medical school section lead.
Hi, and I'm Pam Mason. I lead the Medical Education Grants Office at AstraZeneca. I also have been a longtime member of the Alliance and have served as member section lead, chair of the membership committee, and in other capacities over the years.
And we are recording shortly after returning home from the Alliance 2024 Annual Conference in New Orleans, where we presented our session, Book Club Discussion, Personal Reflections on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
So in our session, we encouraged participants to reflect on their own unconscious biases. Participants shared their own stories, journeys, and reflections regarding DEI, and also were able to better understand and identify microaggressions in the workplace.
And we are really excited to share takeaways from our session with our listeners. So at the time of recording, we've been home from the Alliance 2024 Annual Conference for a few weeks. Let's briefly discuss our experience. Pam, what were your key moments and takeaways during our session?
Well, Shanice, thanks for asking that. I really appreciated people opening up and sharing their stories. There were examples from work and in their personal lives, examples of subtle acts of exclusion that they committed to others and that were committed towards them. SAEs, as they're called, implicitly communicate you are invisible, inadequate, don't belong, not normal, a curiosity, or a threat. We talked about how that makes one feel. So what about you, Shanice? Any favorite moments or key takeaways?
You know, one of my favorite moments during the session was when we talked about engaging in self-awareness and self-reflection, recognizing our own biases. We have to recognize and understand how our thoughts and feelings and actions impact others and ourselves. For our session, we encouraged attendees to read Subtle Acts of Exclusion, second edition, How to Understand, Identify, and Stop Microaggressions. Pam, can you give our listeners a brief summary of the book and share some background on why we selected this particular read for our session?
Well, the book that framed our discussions, as Shanice just mentioned, was Subtle Acts of Exclusion by Tiffany Janna and Michael Barron. It is an easy read with an explanation of everyday actions, such as backhanded compliments, unfounded assumptions, and relatable examples for readers to examine their own life and reactions, as well as better understand those around them in the workplace, friends, and family, even encounters with strangers. We define implicit bias as the unconscious mental shortcuts formed by our past experiences that impact how we interact and make decisions, and they can even influence healthcare disparities. Shanice, what are a few actionable ways the Alliance community can recognize and stop implicit bias? How can our community make a true impact?
Well, one thing, Pam, we need to continue to provide comprehensive education and training to increase awareness of implicit bias among members of the Alliance community. We need to ensure that we have representation from individuals with diverse backgrounds, perspectives, and experiences in leadership roles and on committees. and provide our members with resources such as bias checklists, decision-making frameworks, and inclusive language guidelines. This will enable them to implement these tools in their institution's CPD program.
Like what you hear on the Alliance podcast? Visit almanac.acehp.org to read the latest continuing professional development news and insights. Visit today to get informed and inspired.
We also discuss microaggressions, the subtle everyday slights. What is one way our community can be mindful of addressing microaggressions, Pam?
Well, I feel strongly that each of us has to look in the mirror and figure out where we are in our personal journey about unconscious bias and microaggressions. Hearing Dr. Russell Lede at the 2023 Alliance Conference inspired me to continue the conversation within our Alliance community. The one thing we as a community can do is talk about it. Change starts with us. Interestingly, Chris Keene and Ann Pam McFadden approached me during our conference this year, shared with me that they changed how they would address the participants at our conference just because of reading the book, Subtle Acts of Exclusion. They would not use ladies and gentlemen, but they used framed it up in other ways. So this is one small change that could make everyone feel included. And it's a small change, but I think could be an impactful one. Well, Shanice, let's talk through one discussion question and one situation that we featured in our session. What were some of the responses and solutions we discussed? And do you have any key moments that stand out for you?
Well, you know, Pam, one of the things that stood out for me is that we've discussed examples of subtle acts of exclusion. For instance, when someone asks a person, "Where are you from?" and that person states, "From Texas," and then the individual says, "Where are you really from?" meaning that this person is a curiosity or they are not normal. Or when someone asks a Black woman, can they touch or feel her hair? Again, meaning her hair is not normal. It's a curiosity.
Well, Shanice, we talked about recognizing our own biases, and those are prime examples that I think happen often. So understanding when we are the initiator, the subject, or the observer. Examples in the book were directed at specific marginalized identities, followed by ways in which we can all be more intentionally inclusive. The goal is figuring out how we can each be better versions of ourselves and how we can support each other in this journey.
Absolutely, Pam. And on that note, did any interesting questions or comments from the audience stand out that we would like to share with the greater healthcare CPD community?
Well, Shanice, I was struck by how individuals were willing to share very personal stories. Some focused on times when the subtle acts of exclusion were toward them. We talked about some professions that may have been traditionally male or female, and you know, they suddenly, all nurses and all physicians don't look exactly the same.
Right.
Some focused on when they shared a time when they may have unintentionally made comments that excluded someone. And we talked about how we can feel comfortable enough to call someone out. And I think that that's an important message for people in our community.
Absolutely.
If we can have language that we all can use and in safe space, make it known to that individual that they have said something that may be excluding that, you know, them. And so to talk about it, just say, "I don't understand what I said, you know, how I could I have said it better, or perhaps avoided the conversation completely, like you had mentioned in your examples. The other topic I'd like to mention is about being an ally. You know, becoming a better ally starts with understanding how you might experience privilege in the workplace, and then using that privilege to support and help others. So, Shanice, for those in the Alliance community who want to continue their education on implicit bias and microaggressions, what resources would you recommend they explore?
Well, first, I would recommend taking the implicit association test. This test assesses attitudes and beliefs that individuals may be unable or unwilling to report. I also have a couple of books I would like to recommend. The first one is called The Waymaker by Tara J. Frank. Then there is Everyday Bias by Howard J. Ross. And of course, the book that we are discussing today, Subtle Acts of Exclusion. You know, Pam, one of our Almanac editorial board members is working on an article about leadership and people management. In the spirit of the Almanac, we're going to answer each of the following questions live for the author to use as a source in the upcoming article. From your perspective, Pam, what are some creative ways managers can show gratitude to their employees, especially during challenging times or high stress periods? What role does recognition play in a healthy work environment? And how can managers effectively acknowledge and celebrate their team's achievements?
Well, Shanice, I think one of the most important is to allow diverse voices in the discussion. So in team meetings, everyone has an opportunity to share what they're thinking about, their new ideas, their opinions, and offer up that different perspective. You also have to give them room to find solutions. Not step in as the manager and show them the way or show them your particular idea for that solution. You allow them to really explore and come up with some solutions that you probably might not have come up with as the manager. And then gently advise them and allow them to thrive or fail, and then to learn from the experience. It is important to give credit to the individuals and the team for their work. Some organizations have reward and recognition programs. Utilize those if they're available. Verbal acknowledgement in front of their peers is important. And also share it with your boss. I do. I share with my boss all the time accomplishments or ideas or things that the team or individuals are doing.
Great. Well, one of the ways that I acknowledge staff and show gratitude is writing personalized thank you notes or cards expressing my appreciation. You know, Hallmark has these little cards that you can buy, and I get a stack of them and I hand them out on a just because basis. You know, staff like to be recognized, and recognition plays a crucial role in fostering a healthy work environment by enforcing positive behavior, boosting morale, and enhancing employee engagement and motivation. You know, when employees feel valued and appreciated for their contributions, they are more likely to be satisfied with their work, committed to their organization, and motivated to perform at their best. And some ways we can celebrate staff is to host team lunches, happy hours, or offsite outings to recognize their accomplishments and foster camaraderie. These celebratory events provide opportunities for team members to bond, relax, and celebrate their hard work together. I know in one organization that I worked for, when we were so busy and everyone felt really stressed out, we would stop and we would play music and have disco break. And so once we played the music, then we would spend 20 seconds dancing, whether that's in your office or together. And that really was so much fun. And when we went back to work, you know, we were more relaxed and excited about doing our jobs.
Shanice, those are great ideas and examples.
And you know, looking back, what advice would you give to someone, Pam, aspiring to be a great manager? And how can they consistently demonstrate to their team that they are genuinely valued?
Well, I'll start with saying that you need to be, as the manager, be your honest self always. Be open and truthful with your team members. Keep your word. Being trustworthy is very, very important. Keep your word. And don't make promises that you may not be able to keep. So honesty, for me, is one of the key components. And then to be there for them during good times and not so good times. Things happen in life, and you're supportive of them for work-related things, but you also need to be supportive of them if they have things going on in their personal lives.
Absolutely. You know, one of the ways that I think empowering staff is giving them trust to make decisions and take ownership of their work. You know, when you empower staff, you know, you give them autonomy and responsibility, and it provides opportunities for growth. You know, we have to invest in our team members' professional development and growth, offer them training and mentorship and opportunities for advancement to help them reach their full potential and achieve their career goals.
Well, Shanice, I think that's a wrap. We want to thank you, the audience, for joining us today for our discussion. It was so nice to connect with our community at the Alliance Annual Conference and now through this podcast.
Stay connected with us all year round by visiting the Almanac at almanac.acehp.org and subscribing to our twice monthly newsletter. And we always welcome article submissions and pitches from new and returning authors.
So we hope to see our listeners in Philadelphia, September 16th through the 18th, for the Alliance Industry Summit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Alliance Podcast, Continuing Conversations. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to rate, review, and subscribe to stay updated on future releases. In the meantime, we invite you to access our wealth of continuing professional development content on the Almanac at almanac.acehp.org. Until next time.